This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Nilu Kaur. Nilu has 15 years of experience specializing in adult learning and leadership development in financial services, consulting, and the tech industry. She focuses on leadership, mindfulness, and burnout management for individuals, teams, and organizations. She recently published her first book, Be Your Own Cheerleader, which focuses on self-advocacy for Asian and South Asian women. She has a Bachelor of Science from NYU Stern School of Business and a Master's from Columbia University in Social and Organizational Psychology. Thanks so much for joining me today, Nilu.
Thank you for having me, Diane.
I'm thrilled to have you here. We're going to be talking about this whole burnout, you know, and
yes,
stuff that's going on. And so I'm curious, why do you think so many people are frazzled?
I think we are all frazzled as a society globally is because we believe we can multitask. And our brain can actually not multitask. We can only do one thing at one time. And I think like the memo has gone out and no one seems to want to believe that. So people, and including myself, attempt to multitask and we just can't. And that's sort of brain, like it's an overload on our brain functioning.
Somewhere in my office, I have a coaster that says something like, multitasking is doing several things poorly or something like that.
You know, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So ridiculous. Okay. So.
And I still hear people say, I'm such a great multitasker. Like, no, actually you're not. And none of us are. So it's not like a badge of honor.
It is not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right. You're just doing stuff so-so and nothing's getting done. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So let's flip this around and let's talk about actually actionable strategies that we can employ to help with the burnout.
Yes. So I think that it's so simple and yet no one really, it requires discipline to do this. But what happens is the way you set yourself up in the morning really dictates the tone for the day. So there's so much research on essentially the hour that you wake up, the first hour that you wake up to not reach for your phone. And most people in my workshops, in my speaking engagements, they will raise their hand and say, that's impossible. I can't do that. And so I say, okay, if you can't do an hour, how about 30 minutes? Because what happens is when you reach for your phone immediately, you are reacting to notifications, to emails, to messages, and that is essentially training your brain to be distracted all day.
Oh, really?
Yes. So if you start your day in more of a whatever that looks like for you, so it can be a, you know, just a little walk around your building, or it could be having tea or coffee silently, or it could be meditating. It's just easing into the day however you want to ease into it, but essentially setting the tone for the day is really going to impact everything that happens after that hour.
Wow, that is so interesting. I didn't realize that. So now I have a whole new outlook on what I do when I wake up.
Right. And also, like, I use my phone sometimes as an alarm, depending on I am. So that's also a discipline that if you have to reach for it to shut it off, you don't reach for it and actually get on it. You reach for it, shut it off, and then put it face down and then ease into the day, which requires discipline.
Yeah, for sure. It is so tempting. Yeah, that's interesting. So let's talk about overwhelm, because I hear this a lot from people that when they get overwhelmed, they just shut down, like they don't do anything, and which just adds to their stress and frustration. So how do they move past that?
Yes. And this is also very simple. It requires discipline again. So the person that I look to the most as sort of the thought leader in this space is Lisa Feldman Barrett. She's a neuroscientist, and she talks about this concept called the body budget. And so what the body budget is comprised of is like water, salt, oxygen, glucose. And the way we replenish our body budget is eating, taking naps, sleeping, exercising. We all know what those things are to replenish our body. So her strategy is, in the moment when you're overwhelmed, you ask yourself one question. And that one question is, what do I need in this moment? And the answer to that, we all have the answer inside of us. We know when we're overwhelmed. Sometimes we just need to lay down. Sometimes we need to get away from the computer screen and walk for 20 minutes and come back. And then that overwhelm sort of dissipates. So it again requires discipline to, in the moments you feel overwhelmed, to ask yourself, what do I need in this moment? And to honestly answer that and to follow through with what you get as an answer.
Oh, that's interesting. So listen to yourself.
Listen to yourself. Exactly. And again, it's so simple. And yet there's 100 million apps for calm, you know, to be calm. and yet it's like the answers all lie within. And we just don't, for whatever reason, we don't want to accept that truth that we know what we need. We just have to follow through.
Okay. But so this makes me think of self-advocacy, which I think especially women are not good at. So
right.
So talk about self-advocacy and why it's important and really what it looks like.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so funny because the word, when you hear self-advocacy, specifically in the workplace setting, you think of asking for raises, asking for promotions.
Yeah.
It can also mean, you know, getting your voice heard, getting your ideas across so it's not stolen. So yes, those are workplace sort of self-advocacy things. And what happens is, the way we are in one situation is how we are in other situations. So if you're not asking for support in areas that you need at work, chances are you're not asking for support in areas that you need at home. So self-advocacy goes beyond the workplace. It really also applies in our personal lives. So, you know, if you're a single mom with two children, it's like, figure out who you can ask for support, you know? So the question then becomes, again, I will go back to Lisa Feldman Barrett's question, is what do I need in this moment? And yeah, in that moment, it may be to advocate for yourself at your job and say, I need XYZ to be able to do my job. I need to be able to log off at 3 to go pick up kids and then come back at 5 or 6 or 7 after dinner and get back on, right? Like, these are all strategies to self-advocate.
I see. Okay. Okay. And what about mindfulness? Like, I learned years ago that I needed to be more mindful about the decisions that I was making, how I was working, you know, things like that. But like, what are some simple mindfulness strategies that people could really be using on a daily basis?
Yes. And that's also, you know, mindfulness, when you type it into Google, you will get a bazillion results. And there's so much data, there's so much research. And in the simplest form, I say it is tapping into one of the 5 senses. So practicing mindfulness, for some folks, it is sitting on a cushion and meditating for how many ever minutes. But in other instances, those mindful moments can literally be, if you're at your computer, and you all of a sudden just spread out all 10 toes and feel yourself grounded to the earth, and you're tapping into your sense of touch, right? Like you're feeling your feet grounded to the earth and you're just taking a moment and you're doing that. Or you can focus on a scent, right? Like you can have a scent around you. It could be a candle. It can be anything. And then you just focus your sense of smell there, right? So it's really deciding in the moment, like what sense can you easily access? And for me, it's usually my feet because I'm either standing or sitting. And so when I feel like I need a moment to recalibrate before another meeting starts, it's to feel my feet grounded to the earth.
Okay. So that feels really intentional to me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I guess maybe that's easier for me since I'm a yogi and I've been teaching yoga for many years. And so feet are very important in terms of grounding energy. But if that, it feels like it's too far of a stretch for you, then it could literally be just, you know, taking a moment, closing your eyes and just taking a couple of deep breaths. And that's being mindful because you're essentially resetting, recalibrating your nervous system.
Okay. Okay. Because one of the things that I will say to people, especially if they're stuck, is remove yourself from the situation. Get up.
Right.
Just get out of wherever it is you are, because that can reset your whole being.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. So for example, motion changes emotion, right? So if you're feeling stuck, even if you can't leave your apartment, and I'm using myself as an example, because oftentimes my meetings are back to back and I can't leave until a certain time of the day.
Sure.
So then I will get up and just walk around my apartment, and that in it of itself, just moving, any sort of movement, however long it is, can essentially reset your nervous system.
Okay. That's great. Cause that's an easy thing to do.
That's such an easy thing to do. It's like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do anything. I can't focus. So, okay, that's a signal. Get up, move, walk, just change your location where you're sitting. I mean, any sort of movement is going to change your emotional state.
Right. Okay. And what about meditation? For people who don't meditate, but they're thinking, boy, you know, that would probably be pretty good for me. How do they start? Are there like simple or beginner friendly strategies?
Yes. Again, that's another word, right? We hear about it. We say, oh, it's so good for us. It's so good for our brain chemistry. And then we don't do it because we can't sit still. So I think the easiest way to do is there's two aspects I would say to this. One is you can use your phone as a timer. You can use Alexa as a timer, whatever you use. But the idea is that you set a time. And for some people, it can be 1 minute. It can be 2 minutes. It can be 12 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you can spare. And in those minutes where you're just sitting with yourself, if your mind is wandering and you have monkey mind, which we all do, focus on the sound of the radiator or the AC, something that's very neutral that you don't have an opinion about. I live very close to LaGuardia Airport and I hear airplanes. But what happens is when I focus on that, I will start making up stories. I will start thinking about wanting to fly, places I want to go. And then my mind goes in that direction. So I feel like the radiator or AC, if it's cold, if it's hot outside, right? Like these are very neutral sounds that we can focus on that we don't really make up stories. We can't really make, I mean, you could make up a story that about your radiator noise, but it's pretty neutral, right? Yeah. So I think the two aspects would be find a sound that's pretty neutral, white noise that you have around you. And the second would be to time yourself, just to sit with yourself. And that could be 1 minute. It can be 2 minutes to begin with.
I see. Okay. So is this, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about how sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, not for any particular, maybe my husband's snoring or something, but then I can't go back to sleep because my brain just starts going.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Same for me.
Okay. Because what I end up doing is I end up going downstairs and turning on the TV low. Mm-hmm. So I can't really even hear it, but somehow that makes me stop thinking.
Interesting. So you know, there's so much research on this from a sleep hygiene perspective. It's that the lights from the TV or the lights from your phone is going to impact your melatonin production. So it's not the best way to go back to sleep. But if it works for you, great. But I think for mind control, I have this problem too, especially I'll wake up if I have to use a restroom and then I'll come back and I'm like wide awake and I can't go back to sleep. So I think for me, I changed the, again, movement. I will change the location of where I am sleeping, or I'll change the direction. I will do some sort of different thing, because then that's sending a signal to your mind that you're in a different state. Because if you are going back and you're laying there and you're getting very anxious and frustrated, like I can't sleep, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're anchoring that sense of anxiety in that exact same spot that you're in. So I then take that as a cue to then shift. I'll move from the bed to the couch. I will change the direction of the, you know, where my head is on the couch. I will make some sort of shift so I can sort of recalibrate that sense of stuckness that I feel in that moment.
Ah, that's interesting. Okay. Okay. All right. I get that. Okay. Thanks. That's helpful.
Now, yeah. So maybe try that out and see if that works. Yeah.
Right. Right. Instead of, you know, because I know I have heard repeatedly that falling asleep to the television is a really bad idea, but it's the thing that keeps my brain from going. So, you know, not quite sure what else to do there. Now, I've been wanting to ask you this question since we scheduled this conversation. What is, I'm not even sure I'm going to say it right, Ayurveda, and how does it help with burnout?
Yes. So Ayurveda is a holistic healing system based in India. It's 5,000 years old, and it translates to the science of life. And it's actually older than Chinese medicine, I believe. And essentially, there are basic premises of Ayurveda. But one of the main things that helps really with burnout is routines that we can have in the morning and in the evening that really set us up for success. So in the morning, it's again setting the tone for the rest of the day. But in the evening, it's also setting us up for success for restorative sleep, which is so important to have a productive day. So Ayurveda in and of itself it's quite complex, but from a burnout perspective, I would say these routines that are highlighted in these scriptures that are 5,000 years old still apply today. So one of the things that Ayurveda talks about is within the first 15 minutes that you wake up, that you get somehow direct sunlight to your eyes, because that impacts melatonin production. It stops melatonin production. It kind of aligns you with the circadian rhythm cycles of the day. And so that's, you know, there's all of these routines that we can start to do that set us up for success.
Okay. But I live in Ohio. Well, you live in New York. You can't.
Yes.
I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's no sun.
Right. And it's been dreary for days and the sun hasn't come out. So I will, if I can't make time to go outside, I will just stand by the window and sort of like just look outside and get some sort of light into my eyes that's natural, not manufactured, because I think that helps, especially for those of us that struggle with sleep. That's really essential. And in an ideal world, you would go outside despite how sunny it is or not and just look out, like look at the sky.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense to me. So, oh my gosh, I love this information. I think this is so important, and it's not just for women, but so many of us, we're living in this world that just for some reason feels like it has an awful lot of stress attached to it.
Yes.
Right. And we need to embrace these, really, I find them liberating ways that we can counteract that aren't crazy difficult or expensive or any of those things. So thank you so much for sharing this.
Of course, my pleasure. Yes. And I would love to reiterate that point, is that many of the things that we can do don't cost money. It just requires discipline.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Neelu, thank you so much. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you, how they can get your book, and anything else you think they should know?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, neelucaur.com. That's Neelu, first name, last name, K-A-U-R.com. and I am on LinkedIn with my name, Neelu Kaur. That's my most active platform. I'm also on Insta. And my book is anywhere you can find books, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon. You can even go to your local bookstore and ask them to order the book, and they will make that happen if you want to support local.
Fabulous. All right. Well, as I said, thank you. This is really tremendously valuable. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.